Hey, Sun Leaders. My name's Liam. Some of you know me, but for those of you who don't, I do employee benefits for companies. So think health insurance, Aflac, short-term disability, things like that. I didn't always do this, which is kind of the reason why I had the idea of this podcast. So being in the job that I'm in, I am an entrepreneur. And when I first started, I didn't know up from down, left from right. I wish I had a group of people around me to learn off of and bounce ideas off of. But when you're first starting out, I didn't really quite have that. I came from about 6 years in nursing, which we kind of went over in Dan's podcast, if some of you guys had listened to that. So over the past about year and a half, I've created the group that I wish I had when I first started. So every time you hear me behind the mic, we'll be doing interviews of many business owners, community leaders on specific things that they do best. We can hopefully answer some questions and give you new ideas to help better your business, maybe spark a new idea that, you know, you may be having some trouble with. Some of us are going to be seasoned vets in the entrepreneurial stance. Some of us are going to be just starting out. But I do want to say that if you have something that you are struggling with, whether it be networking, when's the right time for benefits, payroll, etc., you're more than welcome to find me on social media. Let me know. I'd love to do a podcast episode on it. I will find the who I feel is the best community leader or business leader that could help us. So with that being said, my Instagram is at Liam with Aflac. You're more than welcome to find me and say, hey, Liam, can you help me out with this? And hopefully we can do something with it. So without further ado, our very first guest, Tina, I appreciate you for being my guest. And, you're a very good friend of mine, so I appreciate that. So, hi, how are you?
Hello there.
Across the table. So, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's all going to be about entrepreneurial standpoints and kind of what we wish we would have known when we first started, right? So this episode is going to be kind of about your perspective. So if you wanted to kind of go over your background, what kind of made you, motivated you to take the leap?
So, that's a loaded question, right? So my background. So I'm from Key West, grew up there all the way at the end. People always are like, oh, which key on Key West? No, all the way to the end. Key West, 3 miles by 5 miles. So we are fourth or fifth generation from down there. So nobody in my family had ever left the island.
Really?
Really. So when it was my time in high school, and I was like, I want to go to school, I think I want to leave the island. I was actually told no, I wasn't allowed to leave the island. And so I was like, I don't want to stay here. I don't know what I want to do with myself. And I was told, no, nobody leaves the island. You get married and you have children. That's what we do here.
And you stay on the island.
And you stay on the island. And so I didn't want to do that. I didn't know how to go to college. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have anybody to help me. So I went to the counselor at school. I was like, I want to go to college, but I don't know what. And so she got me a 2-year scholarship for the college down there in Key West because I didn't even know what to do. Well, then so that satisfied staying on the island. So I stayed on the island for 2 more years. And then I was like, I want more. I want off the island. I want to do something. Still didn't know how to do it. So I had another professor at that time and at the 2-year college. She did exercise physiology, and I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. I like to exercise. So she got me into Florida International University, and I left the island. And I went to school, finished my bachelor's there at FIU in exercise physiology. Well, are we allowed to cuss on this?
You know I cuss like a sailor. I'm sure I'll drop an F-bomb here or there, so go for it.
What the hell do you do with exercise physiology, right? Yeah. I'm like, what do I do now?
That's like physical therapy and stuff.
Well, physical therapy is the more advanced. So most people, most people will do exercise physiology and then go to PT, but I didn't want to do that. And then it was at FIU, so it was in Miami, and I went on a job interview and I actually got hit on. And I was like, are you kidding me? And so I ran back home, back to the island, because that's where it was safe. But I was miserable. And so then I decided to be a nurse. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be a nurse. But I still didn't leave the island. I went to nursing school on the island, became a nurse down there, worked for the Lower Florida Keys, worked in labor and delivery and mother baby, and actually worked in the jail. And I joke, my joke is I've spent time in jail, and people are always like, you spent time in jail? And I was like, yeah, I did, but I got to leave in the morning. But I think that year that I did spend in jail is where the entrepreneur came from. So long story to go, where did it come from?
Hey, no, I like it. I didn't even know you came. Like, I knew you came from Key West, but I didn't know you came on, you know, it was on an island. Obviously, Key West is the island.
Right, but
you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Right.
I'm born and raised. I'm also a native Floridian. I've not been outside of Tampa Bay. you know? So I think it's always interesting to kind of just, I like long stories, basically, is trying to, what I'm trying to get at.
So as I was a jail nurse, I met my husband and we got married, and
He wasn't an inmate. I just want to make that clear for folks that don't know
that's
you.
Right.
He wasn't an inmate.
No, he was in law enforcement, so the complete opposite. But we got married and we stayed down there. We were there for 2 years, and you know, I still had that. I want to leave the island. I want to do something. And I was a nurse and he was a cop. And spending that time in jail and then leaving and going to mother baby, it was really bipolar, because you really got to be tough and you really got to be mean when you're in jail, and you got to hold your own. And then you go to the hospital and you really got to be sweet and you got to be loving and you got to be caring. And so this back and forth, it really became hard. And so I left the jail, and then shortly thereafter we had our first baby and we left the island. And so we didn't go far. We stayed in Florida, but we went to Gainesville, and that was in 2000. I was a nurse in Gainesville, and I still was like, there's still more for me. And I would say to people, I just know nursing is the means to the end, but I don't know what the end is. I don't know what the end is. Spending time in labor and delivery and nursing, you know, you're around a bunch of women. And so what do women do? We all wear makeup, although I really don't wear makeup. But I was like, well, I'll sell Mary Kay. Sure, let's try that. People wear makeup. So I started playing around in Mary Kay. And people would be like, but Tina, you don't wear makeup. I was like, I know, but you need it. And so that then led to real estate. And I was like, I can't sell real estate. First of all, my parents never even owned a home in Key West. So
I'm still trying to connect the dots of how you went from makeup to houses.
So because I was still working as a nurse, but I was selling stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because selling makeup. And somebody was like, you need to sell real estate. Because like, here I'm selling makeup and I don't even wear it.
Yeah.
And so people were like, you should try selling real estate. And I was like, we're still renting. My parents have never owned a home. We grew up, five of us, in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house. And I'm going to go sell homes? Like, what in the world? I don't even know how to buy a home. So spent a year learning the words and learning how to do it. And again, I'll make it even shorter. So I did become in real estate. I became a realtor, but I didn't leave nursing. I did nursing and real estate for about 7 years. So the entrepreneur started really coming out in those 7 years that I did of both, and ended up that I was making more money in real estate than I was in nursing through 7 years, and was finally able to leave nursing and do real estate full time, which then put me 100% going from a regular paycheck benefits to girl, put your big girl panties on and figure it out, because nobody's paying you anymore.
That's about where I was about a year and a half ago. I mean, obviously my big boy panties, not the big girl panties.
Right. So that's kind of the transition. That's how it happened. I didn't know that was going to happen. I'd never really set out to be an entrepreneur. I just knew I have a real strong faith, and even though I do cuss a lot, but I have a real strong faith. And so I always knew that these were doors that God just kept opening, and I blindly would go in them. And I was like, I don't know, let's see what this brings. And then this would bring something else. And then here I am making more money as a realtor now than I was as a nurse.
I'm a big believer in, regardless of if you're religious or spiritual or just exist, everything happens for a reason. You know, that's a saying that I say a lot all the time. And then another one that I've been recently saying as well is, everything's meant to be, mm-hmm. but not everything's meant to last. Everything is meant to be in your life in whatever capacity that was, right? Like you were meant to be in my life as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but maybe our friendship's not meant to last. You know what I mean? Like it's more so kind of relationshipy type thing.
Well, it's all in seasons too.
It's exactly. Everything always happens in seasons, and it's everything's meant to be. It all happens for a reason. So I give you kudos for being a nurse and a realtor for 7 years, because being in healthcare for the couple years, I mean, I was just a CNA, so I didn't have the big brain power, but that was a struggle.
Well, and being in labor and delivery, and you could not have your phone on the unit. And so there was a lot of creativity. I was actually really busy. I was getting busy in real estate. So I had to be really creative on, you know, delivering
bathroom
a baby.
Breaks.
At answering the phone. And, you know, if you think, I've been doing this for 20 some years now. And so if you think about it, back then, we didn't have the kind of phones we had then. I didn't have an iPad that I could bring to the unit and I could, you know, do it. I didn't have that. So you really had to be very creative, because my customers, they they didn't need to know that I was working as a nurse. They needed to know that I was, they were the most priority. They were the most important thing. So I couldn't say, sorry, I'll call you back in 2 hours. Got to deliver a baby, because they really don't care about that. They want to know what's going on with their home. They want an update. So yeah, there was a lot of creativity, a lot of bathroom breaks, a lot of becoming really good friends with your patients, and just be like, hey, are you okay if I leave my phone here? I'm going to be in the room with you, but I'm going to answer these emails, or I'm going to answer, you know, whatever it was. And most of them would be like, yeah, cool. But yeah, you had to get really creative on managing the two. And then I did a lot of, I didn't work night shift, but I would come in at 3 a.m. to try to get my on-call shifts, or get the extra time that was required. So sometimes I'd work from 3 a.m. to 7 p.m. at night to try to get the hours in. And then go to, before the 3 a.m. when I'd go in, I'd go to the office. And so I'd be at the office at 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. doing whatever I needed to do, preparing whatever docs I needed to do, then go to the hospital at 3, get off at 7, run back to the office, finish up what needed to be done for the day, and then go home and take care of two little ones that needed bath and showers and stuff.
16-hour days in the hospital plus 2 hours, so you're having 18-hour days.
And so that was regularly. So my husband and I worked a lot of opposite shifts, because if I was at the hospital and trying to do real estate, then he needed to be home picking up the kids. And so for the longest time, people thought our kids were, we were divorced, because my kids would say, oh, it's dad's day or it's mom's day, because we worked opposite, or we were, one was at the game and the other one was working. And so, yeah, for the longest time, people were like, oh, you guys divorced? And we're like, no, we really are married. We just work opposite.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a lot of balancing, but it took me 7 years and to build the point where I could leave nursing and do just real estate.
Off topic for a second, but just because I've had the pleasure to meet Steve and him break my hand when he shakes it.
Oh.
You can definitely see that, though. Like, you can... You know, like marriage and love, not that I've had a successful marriage, but marriage and love is something that you need, that teamwork. And you can definitely see it when I see you guys together.
Thank you. Yeah. We just celebrated 27 years.
That's crazy. So you're married in 96. I was born in 97.
Shut up. I was married when I was 10.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We actually, funny story, we met and we got married 3 months later.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't a long dating process. There wasn't. We literally met, we got married 3 months later, and we've been together 27 years.
See, I'm a big believer, when you know, you know.
Well, and it wasn't easy in the beginning with little ones, because, you know, men, he's a fantastic father. You couldn't ask for a better father. But naturally, instinctually, men don't know how to take care of a baby.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not in them. And not in all men, but it definitely wasn't instinctually in him. And it was very stressful. And I, at that point, I wasn't doing real estate. We were still in the Keys and I was working nights. And so and we were 45 minutes from the hospital. And so when my older one, Emily, would wake up, he would drive 45 minutes to the hospital so I could nurse her and then drive 45 minutes back home, put her to sleep. So it was very stressful on us. But he said to me, so all you people out there who are new in marriage, he literally looked at me and, because I said, dude, I can do this by myself. Like, seriously, I can't take this stress. And he was like, yeah, well, put your hair, go with the big girl panties again. But he literally said, nobody in my family has ever gotten a divorce and I will not be the first. So put your big girl panties on and figure it out. And so
I respect that, though, because love is a choice. At the end of the day, you're choosing to be with that person. A lot of people don't view it that way, but love is a choice.
It is, and it's not always there. You know, 27 years, I think we would both sit here and honestly say there were times we hated each other, or there are times that I was like, oh my God, get out of my face. But you've committed to one another, and you have to talk a lot, and you have to put a lot of effort in. It is not all roses all the time. It is work.
Would you say that was, as I emailed you, I had a couple of questions that I was going to ask, so... And that was one of them. Well, not exactly, but the good and bad challenges. Would you say that your marriage was definitely, not saying it's a bad challenge, but would that, you know, be something that you faced early on?
So I think there's always challenges in a
not
marriage.
Not just specifically right. Marriage.
Yeah, I think there's always. I think being, both of us came from very normal, low to moderate income families that just worked your ass off. And so when you have that mindset of being a cop or being a firefighter, getting a regular paycheck, getting benefits, it's really hard to switch that mindset and take that leap of being an entrepreneur where nothing is guaranteed. I think that was probably the biggest challenge, was because I went from a very steady job to, oh my God, are you going to sell a home next week? Are you going to sell a home next month? Are you going to have any money coming in next month? And having faith and having trust and belief and hustle every day. And nobody's telling you what to do every day. You've got to get up and go hustle.
You're your own boss. You're your own accountability partner. You're your own employee.
Everything. And so you can make
it's a you game.
Yeah, you can make as much money as you want, or you can sleep as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think initially that was probably the biggest challenge in our marriage, in our family, within me, was to overcome that mindset. And I don't think we're there. I mean, I think we've overcome it enough. Obviously, I took the leap, and I don't work in the hospital anymore, and I haven't worked in the hospital for probably 10 years, somewhere in there. But that's a constant battle. That's, you know, we were talking about conscious and subconscious early.
Yeah.
And that mindset, that regular paycheck, that comfort becomes ingrained, and you don't even realize how ingrained that is until you don't have it anymore, or it becomes a low time, and you go right back to, I'm going to just go back to the hospital, or I'm going to go to bed. And you've got to fight that.
I mean, being 100% transparent, I mean, that's where I am right now. Like, no one wants health insurance around Christmas time, you know? And instead of saying, okay, well, I can go back into healthcare, I had a real come to Jesus meeting with myself. And I was like, well, what can I do to be able to keep up with my insurance and my benefits? And because I love doing it, I love helping people. But it also was like, your boy has rent to pay. So what are we going to do to meet in the middle? And I think when people are first starting out, they come to that first roadblock and they're like, oh crap, I got to go back. This isn't going to work out. Instead of just pushing through and finding those, do I want to be working another job right now? No, you know, but I see the bigger picture, and I see that this is going to be my life, and this is going to lead to a better life. And I don't think people, when they hit that first roadblock, they see the big picture.
Hey there, I'm Joy Rose, the founder of the Museum of Motherhood. We are aiming to be Florida's top women's museum, if not their only women's museum, with a focus on women, mothers, and families. We invite you to join us during our hours, and please see more about mom on our website, www.mommuseum.org. First, fabulous, and local. Please join us soon.
I agree. And I think when you hit that first roadblock, and if it is something like, do I need to get another job? I think the most important thing somebody could do is mind shift change. Because instead of thinking, ah, I have to get another job, damn it, I can't pay rent, it could be, I get to get another job. Because think of all the people I'm going to meet now. Think of all those people that are going to need health insurance. And so I think anything, and granted, I go through challenges every single day. I think everybody does. But it's the words we say to ourselves and the meaning that we give it. And so you can change, you can make anything bad, or you can make it like, holy crap, like I get to do this. This is fantastic. Like I'm going to set a goal to meet 10 people today, or, you know, whatever it is. And so you can make anything good, even if you have to become a waitress or a waiter.
Yeah. I was talking to Filippo, Certipo Painters, and he asked me the other day, you know, kind of going off, you can make anything good. He asked me the other day, like, how I was doing. I was like, oh, you know, hanging in there, you know, the typical answer.
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me that he heard from somewhere, and I don't remember the specifics or whatever, but you shouldn't say hanging in there, because hanging implies that you're going to get tired. So instead of hanging in there, you're doing it. And ever since, he told me that last Wednesday, so a week ago. And ever since he told me that, it's totally, every time I go to say hanging in there, I try and stop myself, because I'm not going to get tired. I'm in here, you know, I'm doing what I need to do, but there is going to be that relaxation at the end of the day, or at the end of the month, or at the end of the year, whatever. Whenever I have the ability to do it, I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah, because when you're hanging, you will always fall.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So it, even again, changing words, you're not hanging in there. And I'm guilty of this too. If you ever talk to me, you will notice I'll be like, I'm struggling. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to change that word. It's a challenge, or I'm overcoming it, or I'm figuring this out. So I really always try to pay attention to the words that I say. But yeah, when you're hanging in there, you're going to fall. You're going to get tired. And again, you can go back to the subconscious. There's going to be nobody there to catch you, and you're going to get hurt. I mean, nobody wants to do that. And so it's, you know, I'm learning, or I'm growing. Oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe, it's amazing. I'm growing. That's like, what do people, and honestly, people really don't care. It's really just a saying because they don't know what else to say. And so if you can practice how you respond, it is such a game changer, because they're not even going to, 9 out of 10 aren't even going to hear what you say, because they're already moved on to the next topic.
And it also goes into, you know, people listen to respond. They don't listen to understand. So when you're saying these X, Y, and Z things, no one's really giving a shit. I mean, the good people are. You know, if I were to tell you how I'm doing, you're going to care. If I'm, you know, were to tell Dan, your payroll man, how I'm doing, he's going to care. But
you, if I ask you genuinely, hey, so Liam, how you doing? You're not going to tell me I'm hanging in there. You're going to say, well, you know, it's kind of been a month. You're going to talk.
Yeah.
But like the casual person, yeah, I'm hanging in there. So if you just change that, if you're saying it for yourself, oh, I'm learning and growing, because they're, oh, cool. They don't know what to say.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, it's just something to say.
Just a mindset shift.
Right. It really is. And I struggle. I listen to, so I start my mornings an hour early from whatever. If my first meeting is at 7, or if I'm going to work out at 7, I will get up at 5:30 and have my time for mindset. And so I always spend about an hour every single day on, it's like bathing. You have to do it every day. It doesn't last. So it's consciously working on my mind and what I'm saying, what I'm thinking every single day.
Thoughts are silent killers. We got to make sure they're positive. What would be an accomplishment that you were, and we were just talking about this as well, so hopefully you say this one, but what is an accomplishment that you've recently reached that you're super proud of?
I don't even recall what we were just talking about that would have been an accomplishment. honestly.
We've talked a lot.
Yeah. So, gosh, something that is so recent?
Doesn't matter. Just an accomplishment that you've reached that you're particularly proud of. You know, your time to shine. Brag a little.
So that's a little hard for me, but I mean, I think a lot. I mean, I was the first person to go to college in my family. Now people in my family have a college degree, but I was the first one to get a college degree. So, and against all odds, because I was told no.
You can't go off the island.
Right. So, you know, to get a college degree, I'm pretty proud of that. Then to go back and go to nursing school to get another degree. And so then it was said to me, what the hell's the matter with you? Like, seriously, you got one. Like, why aren't you grateful with one? Because I don't want it anymore. I want something else. And then when you leave nursing and become a realtor, it's like, what in the world? And then I made it. I did it. And then I actually, this could probably be a story for another day, but I actually got fired from a real estate company.
Really?
Yeah. And that's another story. But I did. I got fired from a real estate company and right at Christmas time. And that was the biggest blow. Like, oh, God, I've never been fired from anything in my entire life.
Companies love to do it in the most inconvenient times,
yes,
too.
So, yeah, I got fired, but it was actually the biggest blessing. I ended up going and opening up my own company within like 2 weeks, right at Christmas time, that everybody was like, how did you pull that off? I was like, I don't know. I had a little desk, a chair, a computer, and a room about this size, and said, we're going to figure it out. And so I opened up my own company. I had my own real estate business for about 5.5, 6 years-ish. And then, again, another story for another time. We bought this home here in St. Pete, which was a dream to have a home on the water. And we were able to pull that off. And then 2 years after that, two and a half years after that, we took the leap, which is, again, I always joke and say that's a story for a bottle of wine. But we took the leap and left everything behind and started over here. So there's a lot. I mean, I haven't even told you about my kids. I mean, my kids, I'm super proud of them. Emily passed her nursing state boards today.
That's awesome.
There's so many things, but I think those are kind of entrepreneurial things and things where it's always evolving.
That's awesome. How did you stay focused during the rough parts? And then how did you stay motivated during, you know, because during like the peak, when you're on top of the world, you're like, oh, I can take the foot off the gas and relax a little bit, but you can't. So that's a mistake that I think a lot of people make, and I've made that mistake before. So how do you stay focused and motivated during both your highs and lows?
I think having kids and a family that you have to feed. I think that...
Can't comment too much on that one.
Right.
But...
I think that was a big thing. So the money you make today, you actually earned last month or the month before. And so somebody wise told me that. And so they're like, if you're not working today, you won't feel it today, but you're going to feel it in 30 days or in 60 days. So if you don't want any money in 1 to 2 months, then don't work today. And so that's always stayed in the back of my mind is I want to eat in 30 days and 60 days. So I need to hustle today. So I think that's probably a downfall of me is that I really don't know how to relax. I really don't know how to stop.
But I think that's also a common theme when we're talking about folks who start their own companies and start their own businesses. Like that's a common thing for most entrepreneurs to just not know how to take a break.
Right.
And that's a downfall on all of us.
It is, because and that's why the story of how we ended up here, which again is for a bottle of wine, but I did burn out. I mean, the 1 year in Gainesville, I sold 120 homes pretty much by myself in 1 year. I was burnt.
That's a lot.
I was toast and so unhappy and so miserable. And there's more to that story, but that's kind of how this transition happened. As I just was like, I don't want to work at this pace anymore. Like, this is exhausting, but you still need to eat and you still need to pay the bills. But I got to find a balance. And I don't think I found that balance yet, but it's better than what it was. But it's still a work in progress.
I just got to go back a little bit, because my dad's a realtor. So I've grown up with it and stuff. But 120 homes in Gainesville, that's a lot. And that's pretty impressive. And I have to give you props on that because...
did it once.
Gainesville is like the size of like downtown St. Pete in comparison to Tampa Bay. I think there's probably 250 homes total. So if you sold half of them, that's crazy. What's something you wish you knew earlier on?
So what's really fascinating is I became aware of this recently. In comparing Gainesville in here is, you know, here we moved here. We started a new business, which is not real estate. And we don't
you
know.
You can talk about it. Give yourself some, you know, some free advertising.
Right. Well, we do custom closets here, but we don't, we moved here and we don't know anybody. And so in Gainesville, I grew this massive real estate business. And I would say, or I would have said, without networking. Now, the networking that I did in Gainesville was the parents at the school because my kids were in school, their sports. My husband was in law enforcement. I was a nurse. It was our friend base. That's how I grew real estate there. But when you pick yourself up and you move to a city and you don't know anybody and you're starting a business you don't know anything about, I wish if I had networked in Gainesville, like I network here for the closet business with the same intent and the same purpose and same...
Like ideas.
Yeah, just the drive. I was going to say drivenness, but that's not a word. But like the same drive.
Motivation.
Motivation and purpose. I could have probably sold 200 homes and I could have probably developed a team and done all these things. I mean, I did have 7 agents at one time, but it was not very organized. I say in real estate, I have a hobby. I don't really have a business.
Mm-hmm.
And I still sell real estate and I still am busy. I'm not to that level, but I still am busy. But if I would have had the same focus and the same thought pattern and purpose that I have here up there, I know it would have been a whole different story.
Yeah, I mean, going back to everything happens for a reason, right? You might not have moved down here.
Well, you're exactly right.
You know?
Right.
So that's awesome. What are your, like, because, you know, you mentioned it, the closetivity thing. I know you're doing a lot with it. So that's why I'm asking this. But, like, what are your future goals and plans with it? Because I know that's kind of your newest entrepreneurial endeavor. And I know every time I see you, you have like 17 new ideas for it and Tina's got a guy and all this other stuff. So feel free to dive into that.
So the biggest thing with closetivity that has come to me with custom closets is, first of all, not everybody wants it. And second of all, not everybody can afford it. And third, sometimes you got to be convinced as to why do I need this? It's not like real estate where you got to buy and sell a house. It's not like... insurance. Everybody needs insurance. At some point in time, you got to have insurance. closet, you don't. I mean, you could do it yourself. Like, it's really kind of a luxury thing. So, and when you get a closet, you don't need me again. Like, you're done. So why? I was really struggling, like, how do you define your right person? And then how do you keep them as a customer? And how do you provide value? And so it just goes back to, I guess, what I've realized is really very instinctual. And I did, again, I didn't realize it, is that I am very much a connector. And so here I'm in a city where I don't know anybody. And so talking about being purposeful and networking, so I developed Tina's Got a Guy, because I figured, when you're done with your closet, why do you need me? But if you've developed trust in me and you like the way we work, then you're going to want people like me. And that's what I can provide. And so I can provide a vendor list that have vendors from everywhere in all different industries that work like us, that treat the customer right, that respond. They don't price gouge. They do the right thing. And so Tina's Got a Guy has now become a part of Closetivity, so we can provide our customers with continued value. And then again, okay, so why would somebody even want to click on our page? Closets, I don't want to pay. I don't want closets, or yeah, whatever. But then everybody knows about 7 Minutes of Heaven and the Closet. And so then we created 7 Minutes of Heaven and the Closet with Tina. And what it does is it makes people go, what is she doing? And really all 7 Minutes of Heaven in the Closet with Tina is really this. It's finding people who provide value. And we theme it over organization, and we get together at a bar once a quarter, and we talk and help people bring organization to their life. So the last one we did, we talked about reverse mortgages, we talked about wills, states, and trusts, and we talk about pantries, because it's all organization. We're doing another one March 21st at the Tiki Docks, and we're talking about all things insurance. So we're talking about flood insurance, we're talking about Medicare, because that population over there tends to be older. So we have Medicare is the right one for, right? Is that the right term?
So I'm going to say this, and I know I'm being recorded, but I didn't say this. Medicare, Medicaid, all same thing to me. I don't do Medicare, cool. Medicaid.
Right, right.
So it's the metas.
Right. So yeah, so whichever one is the older.
Yeah.
For the older population.
I think it's Medicaid.
So I have a gentleman come in. His name is AJ, who just specializes in that. And then I said flood insurance. Right. And then we're talking about private medical insurance. And so that's something we hadn't talked about, but you could always like just be there and be like, hey, because I'm a supplemental.
Yeah.
So that's March 21st. And again, it's organization, and we're going to talk about kids' closets. And so everybody comes out, we have a drink, we provide value. It's 7 Minutes of Heaven in the Closet with Tina, because each speaker gets about 7 to 10 minutes to talk. And then you've just had some closet time with Tina. And so I've tried to create very creative ways to just get people to be like, what does she do? To gain traction. You know, I don't know, marketing is not really my forte. It's been kind of fun being creative, but I'm just trying to think of reasons to just get on your brain, to just make you
relevant.
Think about
yeah.
me, just to for you to follow me, to see what in the world is she doing. That's really all I'm doing right now.
Oh, but that's cool. I mean, like I said, you've gone from having so many different backgrounds, and now you're doing, I mean, they kind of tie in when you think about it, but now the closetivity and then not knowing anybody, and then to see you've, I mean, because I just met you in what, October? To see how much it's exploded is insane.
I know. We have 80 people on Tina's Got a Guy now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
I'm one of them, folks. Yes. I'm one of them.
Well, and you know, at first I was like, seriously, people want to be on my vendor? Like, they don't know me. But then what I have learned is that I am very straightforward. So in order to be on Tina's Got a Guy, you got to agree to 4 things. And you've got to show up, do what you say, don't price gouge, treat the customer right. And if you F up, you're off my list. And you get 2 complaints. And the first complaint, you and I are going to have a talk. And the second complaint, you're off. So it is a living, breathing, constant thing that I absolutely have no problem being very confrontational, because it is my name and I want to provide service. That's all I have to give to somebody after their closet is done, is excellent vendors. Uh-huh. And so that was just a way to continue to provide service and help my friends and try to drive them more customers.
Yeah. And that's awesome. You know, like, it's about staying relevant, and it's about keeping up with your clientele and your folks. And I think it's great, like I said, how you've exploded from October to now. And I know you were doing a bunch of stuff before I kind of joined the picture as well, but I think it's awesome. If you, in our closing, because I think we're getting to about that time, got two last questions for you, and they can be quick. Your favorite motivational quote or your motivation, so like meaning like your family or something like that, book or podcast that you'd want to leave somebody with, and then the a top quick tip on starting out.
My favorite quote is actually from my husband, and he always says, nothing good is forced. And so we've raised our kids with that. No dating, no guy, nothing good is forced. And that can be relevant to anything. Podcast, I honestly let God pick it. It's literally whatever comes up on my phone is what I listen to that day. So I don't have a particular one.
Don't feel you have to answer all those. It's just like you can pick like one or two and then just like a quick tip for someone starting out.
My favorite book right now is Get Rich, Lucky Bitch. It's actually fantastic.
I've not heard that one.
Oh, it's fantastic. Denise Duffield, I think her name is. Get Rich, Lucky Bitch is my favorite one right now. I'm on my third time reading it. And then one thing I want to leave. Is that what you
mean? Yeah, like a quick tip for someone starting out.
Get out of your head.
That felt very personalized, Tina.
Well, it's me too. It's me too. I have to tell myself every day, get out of my head, because we limit ourselves.
Yeah, we do.
With our self-talk, we limit ourselves. We are so capable of so much more. And it's the stories we tell ourselves and
we're our harshest critic. We are our harshest critic.
Actually, you know what I want to leave?
What?
The stuff you say in your head, I want you to pay attention to and think if you would say it to me.
So say it to like a friend.
Right. And if you would say the stuff you're saying about yourself to me, then say it. But odds are you wouldn't say it to me.
Probably not. There's a lot that I don't say.
So then you shouldn't say it to yourself. Right? If you're not going to say, if you can't say it to a friend or to a person, then you shouldn't be saying it to yourself.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. And I've heard variations of that same thing previously as well. So definitely.
I mean, how many times do we say, God, I'm such a piece of shit. I'm so stupid. Would you call me a piece of shit? No, you wouldn't say that to your friend. So get out of your head. Like, don't say it.
Yep. You're right. You're right. I mean, me with my anxiety too, I'm always saying, I'm anxious. Stop. No one cares, you know?
And just that's something. Just say you're excited.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that I've, you know, that was my 2024 resolution, is to stop saying I'm anxious and apologizing for it. So hopefully by the end of this year, that'll stop, but we're getting there. So
yeah, definitely don't apologize for ever being you.
Yeah.
You're fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being my first guest. I think it was really awesome and I'm excited. I'm going to bring you back in about a year to see where things have grown and changed. I'm excited to see the changes.
Cool.
All right, Sun Leaders, it is a good day to have a good day.